What we're going to talk about today is miracles, as in miracles, signs and wonders. Now, for the purpose of simplicity, what I'm going to do is just say that signs and wonders and all of those things will come under the label of miracles, just for ease. Okay, this is by no means a comprehensive covering of it. In fact, if anything, I'm really just barely touching on it. But nonetheless, I believe that God has given me this to share, so I'm going to share it with you guys. So, why on earth do we have miracles, really? Well, we have miracles for many reasons, but to show the power of God through countless miracles. That's what he does. I don't know how many times I've probably looked in the Bible for various things and read about a miracle, but just kind of read it, you know, you gloss over things. But this is, it's been different this time. I've been reading about miracles and realising that because I've read about so many, just how amazing our God is. And, you know, the ones that we read about are by no means all of them. There are so many more. There are hints of so much more. So, partly he did it as a show of power, a proof of who he was and who he came from. And partly to show through miracles the love of God. We talk about a God who loves us. We feel the love of God many times. Sometimes we don't. But that doesn't mean his love is never there. His love is always there. It's just that sometimes we're just that bit distant, so we let stuff get in the way. To show the mercy of God. He is a merciful God. He really is. And the compassion of God. So there's like power, love, mercy and compassion. Okay. One of the important things, I think, when I was doing this, it kind of really struck me a little bit more. And it says to demonstrate his kingdom, both now and the kingdom to come, the life in the spirit that we are to walk in now, here on earth. Not to wait, but the life in the spirit that we are to walk in now. Okay, so it is it's a huge subject, if you want to call it that, but it is worthy of our time. And understanding, that's how I feel, in order to better know why God heals. He said many forms of healing, not just physical, there's emotional healing, there's mental healing, there's all kinds of healing. But as I said, I'm going to umbrella it under that. And honestly, I have gone down a serious amount of rabbit holes this last week or two. I really have. And been distracted and diverted. And I had to bring myself back, but you know what? It's been amazing. I think I heard Tim say, might have been last week, reason, that I think I've probably got far more from this than I will ever be able to share with you guys. It's been brilliant. So, but before we go too much further, I just want to ask you a question, which I would like to just ponder on for a moment. Do you believe in the trustworthiness of Scripture? Just have a think. It's a loaded question. Do you believe in the trustworthiness of Scripture? Well, based on the fact that I can't see any no's, I'm going to go forward on the basis that that's okay and it's a yes. And I realise that, you know, there's a lot in that. Because if you do, then you surely do believe in miracles. Because we know they happen, we have seen them happen. And so it's on that belief that I'm going to share what I believe God has given me. Now, the definition of a miracle. There are a number of definitions of miracles. I've read quite a few. And so I'm going to go with this one, which is from Wayne Grudem. So, miracles may be defined as a less common kind of God's activity in which he arouses people's awe and wonder and bears witness to himself. Does that sound reasonable? Yeah? You got that? Okay, that's good. So this definition takes into account our belief, understanding, that God providentially controls, preserves, and governs all things. another big question there, isn't it? Okay. If we understand providence in this way, then we're kind of naturally going to avoid some of the other common explanations or definitions of miracles. So like I said, I realised as I was going through this, there's a lot involved in this. A lot I do not understand. But I do know that God heals, and I do know he is a God of miracles. So, and the miracles of Scripture, they do arouse people's awe and amazement and indicate that God's power is at work. And we are going to look at some of those soon. Okay? So the Bible frequently tells us that God himself is the one who alone does great wonders. And we read that in Psalm 72, verse 18, where it says, "Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvellous things." And we often hear the phrase, who's heard the phrase, miracle drug? Miracle baby? We often use the word, don't we, to describe something that we can't give another explanation to. And that's great, because I believe that those things are very real and very valid. So does God use other treatments to heal people? Well, yes, I believe he does. And he uses drugs, and he uses surgery and operations. I really do believe that is somehow, sometimes that is how he heals people. All kinds of therapies of different kinds. You know, those all come into play. And I know that, you know, again, the NHS is struggling at the moment, but they are amazing. They are a wonderful organisation, if you want to put it that. They too work miracles. And, you know, we've been in a much worse situation if it wasn't for them. And I thank God for them, because some very precious people I know are alive because of them. So, yes. Okay, so we're going to move on to the purpose of miracles. Now, I apologise now if I missed it and there are questions that you have that I, you know, I'm not going to be able to answer. But we can discuss those, okay? Or they can be discussed in your small group. So the first one is certainly to authenticate the message of the gospel. When miracles occur, they give evidence that God is truly alive, and so serves to advance the gospel, a really important reason. Excuse me. So if we look at the Samaritan woman proclaimed to her village, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I had ever done." And that's in John 4:29. You don't need to look that one up. And there, as a result of that, many of the Samaritans actually believed in Jesus Christ because of her witness. Because that was such an amazing thing to her, that he had told her everything she'd done and loved her and forgiven her and didn't criticize her or anything like that. In Acts, in the early church, Acts 6-8, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And I can't imagine. I imagine, wouldn't it be amazing to be there when that was going on? Quite incredible. We haven't witnessed that yet. Maybe we will, I would say. That would be great. But it was because of what Jesus did, because of his kindness and his mercy on them. So a second purpose of miracles in the New Testament is to bear witness to the fact that the kingdom of God has come and has begun to expand, to spread its beneficial results into people's lives. So the results of the miracles also show the characteristics of God's kingdom. Jesus wants people to be free. He wants people to be healed and restored and forgiven. And he wants their hearts. And all through the Bible, we read about that. It's all about God and how much he loves us. It's all about the outworking of that love in many, many, sometimes quite dire situations. When miracles occur, they give evidence that God is truly at work. And so serves to advance the gospel. Again, we're looking at that. So God wants to heal, he wants to restore. He's here, he loves us, but it advances the gospel. What is the gospel message about? The love of Christ, about his forgiveness, when Tabitha, was raised from the dead, it became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And we can read a bit of that in Acts 9. Similarly, Jesus gave his disciples power and authority over all demons. We've said that verse here many times, haven't we? That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that is at work in us. That's actually quite a tough one to get your head around, but it is nonetheless true. And he sent them to preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal. And you can read about that in Luke 9, 1 to 2. He commanded them, preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. That one of the ones. So you see, when he says that, he says, go, and just talk to them the things you have seen and heard. So they were the apostles doing those things. And it wasn't like he suggested it. You know, these are things that he expects will happen as a result of his kingdom being expanded on earth, as a result of us growing into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with him, a result of us placing our trust in him and his ability to work through us. And that can be quite a big step. It really can. A third purpose is to help those in need. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Miracles give evidence of the compassion of Christ towards those in need. So that's in Matthew 14, 14. Now, he landed, saw the large crowd, but he was immediately, his heart was for them. He wanted to help them. He had compassion on them and mercy on them. And a fourth purpose of healing is to remove hindrances to people's ministries. Now that's quite an unusual one. In Matthew 8, 15, we read, as soon as Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law, she rose and served him. So when God had mercy on Epaphroditus and restored his health, don't know whether that was through miraculous means or not, because there's no time sort of that you can pin to, but Paul attributed it to God's mercy. And we can read about that in Philippians 2, 27. And he says, indeed, he was ill and almost died, Epaphroditus, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. So the more, you know, for me it's like the more we read into these things and not just read and kind of gloss over, you know, sometimes we read for meaning and sometimes we just read, don't we? And both are great, nothing wrong with that, but I guess because I was reading for meaning, there was so much more that I picked up, you know, for each of those points. You know, so God isn't just all about himself. Jesus didn't come to earth to promote himself. In fact, lots of the times when he healed people, he actually said, don't tell anyone, basically. You know, because his time had not yet come. But what did people do? Because they had received such a wonderful healing and stuff in their lives, they just wanted to go and share it, because that's what we want to do, isn't it? When something amazing happens. And finally, a fifth purpose, and the one to which all of the others also contribute, is to bring glory to God. And that's in Matthew 9, verses 1 to 8. It's quite a long one. Matthew 9, verses 1 to 8. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Just then, some men brought to him a paralytic living on a stretcher, lying on a stretcher, probably living on a stretcher as well. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, have courage, son, your sins perceiving their thoughts, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why are you thinking evil things in your heart? For which is better or easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he told the paralytic man, get up, pick up your stretcher and you're healed. So first, he dealt with the man's sin. He forgave him his sins. And then, he healed him of what was afflicting him. And it was weird. At the same time, he actually knew what the Pharisees were thinking. You know, they weren't thinking good things. They were thinking evil things. And I just love the way that he works. He can read our minds. He can read our minds. He knows our thoughts. So, and that for me is another brilliant thing, because there is absolutely nothing we can hide from him. You know, we can pretend to keep them to ourselves, but actually that doesn't benefit us. And God knows them anyway. And it's so much better for us to share them, to speak them out. Either because that helps us and we can then be free of them. And there is something in declaring those things, maybe just to one person or whatever, but rather than keep them to yourself, to share them with another person can bring such a degree of healing and forgiveness and freedom into any situation. So what we're going to do now is we are going to look at, briefly at miracles, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So what I want to do is just ask, just going to test the Bible around a little bit. So I've got a list here, which I'm expecting you all to say. And maybe, yeah, but I had the Bible, didn't I? Although you probably have got your Bible one way or another. Yes. And one that I'm hoping you won't get, because it's a personal one. Anyway. Yes, got that one. That's brilliant, isn't it? Exodus 14:21. What did you like about that one? Absolutely, the enormity of it. And there's such a lot of, in research, and so many people trying to explain it away in other ways. But actually, they came to the conclusion, yes, it did happen. They're not saying how, but they say, yes, it did happen. Deliverance. That was about deliverance. Okay. Can you just imagine the deliverance of that? The hem of his coat. The absolute, sure and certain knowledge that he knew that Jesus was the healer. He didn't want to make a big fuss. But Jesus knew. I've got that one too. Yes. That's what you like about that one. But just on the people who left him. Yeah, as well. And that he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, we don't see that very often, do we? But I don't think I've ever seen that, but it happens. We read stories on stories on stories of that happening. Okay, come on, let's go for some big ones, really big ones. What's a big one? Those are big, but they are bigger. Walk on water. Yeah, but there is another one that is in the Bible. But I like walk on water. Yay! Jesus raised from the dead. That's really, I mean, that's enormous, isn't it? Jesus raised from the dead. This one you may, there are two. Okay, two I've got here. Do you want me to just share them or do you want to have a go? Do you want to have a go? Yes, I haven't got that, and I've had some sweeties, I would have given you some, because that is a good one. Yes, I have got that. How about, go on, Neil. Yes, I haven't got that one. That's a good one. Two. Yes, another one I have. Gosh, I was going to run out of sleep. Yeah, you are. It's up the back, actually. We could reward you. There is chocolate up the back. Sorry? what about God becoming human? Coming down from heaven? That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah, the virgin birth. Absolutely. Okay, let's, and the creation of the universe out of nothing. Genesis affirms the complete cosmic sovereignty of the Lord God. I don't even get that. When I think about creation, my mind can't imagine that. Which is fine, because I don't have to. I just trust it. But I know it. But it is just incredible. Okay, let's move on to a bit more of the New Testament. What about... Are you all tired now? It's horrible being tested, isn't it? The what? Yes, yes, I have got many, many fish. Absolutely. The loaves and the fishes. Yes. Yeah, water into wine. The first miracle. The calming of the storm. Oh, can you imagine? Walking on water, as you said. Peter. Yeah, and then Jesus just said, what are you worried about? And here. It's just knowing. The presence of God, isn't it? You know, like we sang about it this morning, when we're in dark places and we're troubled. It's really sometimes quite difficult to allow God's peace into our hearts, because those thoughts are just there the whole time. And it's a real, it is a battle, but that is what the Bible talks about, isn't it? The enemy doesn't want us to have the peace of God, so constantly we're assailed with those thoughts. But if we can push through and allow the peace of God to just still our minds, it really does work. It takes a little bit of effort and practice, but it does happen. And it just makes such a fantastic difference. Okay. We have the water and the wine. Anyone else want to? Oh, yes, that's amazing, that one, isn't it? Who was that? I think it was, yeah. Yeah. And I think I just over that so many times. But when you sit down and really read into it, you know, quite incredible. Who was going to say something? Yes? Yeah. It was also quite a big one for Jonah, wasn't it, when he was in the, with the whale swallowing him up, or whatever it was. So, you kind of get in the picture that there's so many miracles. And remember, I'm just using that word. There are miracles of nature. There are, you know, other kinds of miracles. But I'm classing them just as miracles. Because for many, without God, they simply wouldn't happen. And, you know, I think for us, it's placing our trust in a God who is able to do that. And sometimes, well, most of the time, he actually only asks us to take a little step. And then every time we take that little step, he's there and he needs us. But we do have to take that step first. That's about trusting. That's about placing our trust in God. He is never going to fail us. He's never going to let us down. So it's our own fear. Or whatever. But if we take that little step, he will always be there. So just to kind of bring it. So Jesus has paid our debt before God. Okay, Jesus has paid our debt before God. And his cross is a completed work in our eternal interest. Our giving, however you want to put that, most people when they say giving is money, giving something they raise, other things, and service. Our giving is no longer a debt that we owe, but a seed that we sow. So ours is simply to act on the power potential that that seed line he has placed in us by his power and grace. And well, Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, I'm aware that many verses have different meanings to the ones that we often use, but in my experience is that when we step out in faith with God, He never fails to give back so much more than we give. So it's just to say that giving and receiving belong together. Receivers and not just be givers. They have to go together. Okay, should we just pray? Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. You are God. That you're in some ways such an unknown to us because we are constantly striving to know you more. But we thank you that when you went to be with your Father, that you didn't leave us alone. You gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. You gave us each other to help each other. And you gave us the means by which we can just come before you in any state at all and just say, help. So we ask you now. We thank you that you're with us. You said you are with you always. I'll never leave you. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are present with us now. And we thank you for all that we can learn in the Bible. We thank you for all that you have put in each one of us. And we ask that you will help each one of us to just grow into that so that we can bear fruit for you. It is scary, but it is so rewarding. We just need to encourage each other constantly. Sit at your feet and search you, Father. We just thank you.